Hello, a very warm welcome to Fireside Chats. My name is Magla Pillay, and on today's show, we take up the subject of the moral compass. Our speaker is Sister Denise, an experienced meditator and a practitioner of Raj Yoga meditation for many years. In this series, we look at a variety of subjects surrounding spirituality, what it is, what it's not, and we ask you to take a deeper look at what your relationship is with the Supreme Soul. Sister Denise, very warm welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Tell me, the term moral compass has been around for aeons, but has it just become words, or is it real for some?
Well, a moral compass is real, but do you know how to use it? Do you know which direction that you're looking for? That's really what it's all about. So the moral compass, you know, we have in architecture, Vastu Shastra and Feng Shui, and so it's all about your orientation. Mm-hmm. And these disciplines actually, in their original form, are absolutely natural. A person is naturally oriented in the right way. But when a person gets off track and disorientated, then that means physically, spiritually, socially, and in every other way, it's as if the compass is spinning around. Mm. So the moral compass has to do with what direction do we need to be facing in terms of our behavior, our conduct. And there's some problems about it because morality is really defined by the majority, the group of people who are in power in any given society. And what's happened in the world today is that the people who are in power tend to have their moral compass pointing backwards. And so it's become a very confusing time because partly people are able to come into positions of power because of wealth, and wealth can be acquired in non-moral ways, and then you become the moral authority, so it becomes very confusing for the society. So I feel that we need to really reset the moral compass. And normally we set our moral compass according to the traditions, the ways that are considered perennially right, but what I found is that even though that may have been right long, long ago, but over the years it hasn't really held its course. It's really got deviated, probably imperceptibly, but once the deviation is very far, then you start seeing it. And the question arises, what would be the standard by which you set your moral compass? And I think you can no longer set it by the prominent people in the society. So you have to find a different standard. And if you set the standard according to what's considered as the ancient ways, that is the same standard as the prominent people in the society also refer to. And it has become possible to use a standard and then make the moral orientation convenient to what suits you. So therefore, it's no longer really a reliable reference point. So this is why I think that what people are looking for is God.
Now, Sister Denise, how has one reached this state where we have forgotten what true north is? What brought us to this current point? When I mean we, I mean the world.
I think the problem is it's been imperceptible. You know, the earth itself is tilted. But you don't know it's tilted unless somebody tells you. And so we know it's tilted, this is why there are the seasons and so on. We can assume that at one point it was upright. We don't really know what made it tilt. We're used to it being tilted. It may be continuing to tilt, but it hasn't been really identified by most people are unaware of the fact that it's not really a stable tilt. It's really quite a wobble. And I think that that also reflects a bit of a wobble that's happening in humanity. But because these changes happen very slowly, and because the way they are tracked, or the way history is tracked, is not really totally objective. So I think people have not been able to see clearly what has happened. You hear people talk about the good old days. Then you hear other people saying, but we're, you know, we believe in progress. So there's an ambivalence going on, which makes it very difficult to be clear about exactly what's happened. But I do feel that the situation for people at the moment has become, like, it's really shifted. And it shifted in maybe a shocking way. And it's not sitting well with people to a point where we want to really reassess it. And I think that's what's important, the fact that it's noticeable. And so what I'm proposing is that we try to look to God as the reference point, because God is always known to be the one who understands right and wrong, and who is said to be the ultimate judge, who tells the truth, who actually guides people in their way of life. But the problem is that people don't really have direct access to God, and so this is really the need of the time, is to have direct access to God, because everything else is somehow failing us, somehow unreliable, somehow not acceptable.
When you sit a group of children down and say, today we will be discussing the lessons of life and morality, it's, ugh, my God, this is going to be so boring. Okay, and when you say to them, okay, here's a brand new cell phone, let's learn how to use this, it's like, wow. Okay, the same thing with adults. When you sit people down and tell them, okay, let's try and find a way of being that works, or when you try to teach human beings, young or old, any sense of morality, a right way of living, there's a reluctance to learn. Why is that?
Well, exactly because of what I was saying earlier. The reluctance to learn is because of the people who are the reference point, and they are seen to be not an acceptable reference point. Now, if you say to a group of people, okay, God is going to come and sit with us and talk about how to have a better life, they'd probably be more interested. That is not quite so easy, because God is very, very subtle. But nevertheless, I think that if you have precepts which are not created by people, especially people who are saying one thing and doing something else, this the very great difficulty about any kind of morality is it's fraught with hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And even the word morality refers to the customs of a particular society. It's decided upon by people. Now, if right and wrong is not decided by the majority, you know, we were talking earlier about that expression, vox populi, vox dei, and I think it comes in here quite well. People have believed that the voice of the people is the voice of God, but the original quote was, you can't possibly say that the voice of the people is the voice of God because, you know, they behave in such a chaotic manner. And this is really what we're seeing, the hypocrisy going on between what people are saying and what people are doing renders them not worthy of respect, and so people do whatever they want. If we can make contact with that source of rightness, of goodness, of correctness, which is not a human source, then we have something that we can actually respect. And I think that's going to make all the difference.
You said in a previous episode that God is subtle. God does communicate, but it's not a question of there's a voice from, you know, heaven that shouts. There is a use of a conduit in order to get his message across. How do we get people to listen then to the truth, as understood and as enunciated by the Supreme Soul himself?
I think what people want is, they don't want to be told, they don't want to hear something, they want to see it.
Yes.
You know, and so if you can see a gathering of people who are actually following a set of principles that come from God, they will evaluate it by looking at those people and seeing, are they walking their talk? Because I think a lot of people are really interested in finding some kind of role models. You know, there's so many philosophies, it's so easy to say noble things, but to do it is another story. And I think people don't trust words, they trust actual physical beings who are actually walking their talk. So I think that this is really going to be the most valuable, most important and most influential thing.
Sister Denise, what are the signs of a human being who has truly been touched by God?
Well, that person would be very clear, very kind, very strong. There would be many kinds of attributes, and all of those would be in balance with each other. They would be, I would say, quite internally disciplined. They would be soft. They would be resilient, they would be uncorruptible, you know.
And their eyes?
Their eyes would be gentle and piercing.
That's nice. I got goosebumps when you said that. Feeling cold all of a sudden.
But the heart, would be so warm and kind, you know, and wise. You know, and I think that people have a whole bunch of criteria inside that they can sort of produce as a checklist, and that if they see someone or some people who really are fulfilling it, they would be drawn, they would be attracted, they would be wanting to test it out. Because I think if you're going to have faith in something, it means you're sort of trusting. You have to test it to see whether it's for real. I think people have been so damaged by being betrayed, especially by, you know, spiritual leaders who turned out to be not so clean as they presented themselves or as they said they were, And so people are not so easy now to dupe. They have become experienced, but still that what they are looking for is yet to appear. So yes, people are looking for it. I think it also would have something to do with light, because a person who is a person of God, a person with God, would have that aura of light or aspect of light around them that that people are looking for. So all of these considerations must be there. Then I think what people also need or desire or demand is they want to have enough time to look at it for long enough to see if it's really for real.
Because it'll stand the test of time.
Yes, it needs to do that.
Okay. That was that felt like a meditation commentary. Sister Denise, tell me. On a physical compass, it is said, find your true north. Okay, how does that work for the human soul? Is there a north? Is there a direction? And or is it a personality that's the pull, that's the magnet? There's the compass and there's a magnet.
Well, sometimes you find God spoken of as the magnet. You know, there are analogies. If the needle is clean, it'll be pulled to the magnet. If the needle is rusty, it will not be drawn at all. So the needle is really an analogy for the soul. And I think that if a person really desires to be pure and clean and upright and correct in their way of living, they will be drawn to God, and that'll be easy for that needle. But I think also, you know, finding your true north is an orientation and an alignment. You know, if God is a certain way and you are aligned with that way, then that'll be the true north being presented. So anyone could be able to see, yeah, this one is lined up with the true north. Therefore, I can go in that direction. Because the point of a compass is to let you know what direction to go in.
Mm. So Denise, in the past you have spoken at length about conventional morality, yet we use the term moral compass. How does a person who has recognized the Supreme and who's living his or her life under Srimat, how is it... how are their set of values and virtues different from somebody who has morality?
Well,
because there's no such thing as a virtue compass. There's such a thing as a moral compass.
That's right. Mm. That's absolutely right. So what I feel is that conventional morality, and sometimes I will go so far as to qualify it as toxic conventional morality.
Oof, that's packs a punch.
And the reason is because it's harmful. So where the conventions of a community are really at odds with human happiness, with human rights, with the fundamental principle that every person is a soul, is a child of God, has rights, you know, because there are some forms of morality that are based on other fundamental principles. And I think that a morality based on a fundamental principle which is not true can easily be toxic. Very nice for some people, not very nice for other people. And I think if we are trying to reset the moral compass, it means we want to live by a morality where the majority of people are aligned with the ways of God, you know, and then it would not be toxic.
The world is, up until today, filled with people who are born naturally good people. I know many such people. Okay, and then you have those at the other end of the spectrum. This is the crowd I'd like to address right now. People have, lost their own true north have lost their way as human beings. We have all sinned, erred, transgressed laws of karma, laws of the country. We've become far less than what we were meant to be. If somebody has a history of having done all of the negative, but yet there is 1% in them that says, I want to be a better person, how does he go or she go about redeeming himself? I'm speaking about that category of persons who have written themselves off because society has written themselves off. There might be somebody in prison watching you right now. What is your message for such a person?
I know that there's a lot of people who are perfectly fine, but the way they're treated actually poisons them. Mm. And I know quite a lot of people who become socially deviant because it's a justifiable reaction to that.
And I like that term, socially deviant. Yeah, okay. We'll chat more about that just now. But go on.
I think that a person who is spoken to, reflected back as what they really are, which is a pure soul, a child of God, you know, when you start reflecting that back to a person, you start looking at a person with those eyes, they respond to that very positively. I remember there was a time when I was working with incarcerated people in California, and I used to always, at the beginning of our sessions together, I would give them a little blessing card. You know, in Brahma Kumaris we have all these things that give to each other. You are a beautiful person whose heart is very generous. You know, and somebody gets a card like that and they read that and they would say to me, no one in my entire life has ever said anything even close to this. Oh. Why are you saying this?
Ouch.
And I would say, oh, well, probably you are. Mm. I said, yes. You know, so the person all of a sudden melts and becomes like a little child, you see. And I do feel that a lot of people have been so badly treated by the social environment that they have every reason to hit back. And that, you know, in the name of morality, in the name of correctional procedures, you're just destroying people's lives left and right, and it doesn't really have to be that way. I mean, there are no doubt some people who are really filled with evil feelings and intention and so on, and that they have to be looked at in a different way. But there's a huge number of people who are perfectly all right, but who are made bad. Yes, it doesn't have to be.
Okay, this has been a beautiful half hour, so thank you so much for sharing. I'm sure our audience would like some final words from you.
Probably a very important thing is to make a big distinction from what is in the very, very core of your heart about who you are and what people tell you, because people look at each other through filters. Many people, they project on others. Very rarely do you find a person who looks at you and sees you as you are. But you can see yourself as you are and look at yourself as you are, or even better, look at yourself as God sees you, as his sweet child, as his beloved heir, as his student, as one who he would like to prepare to inherit the earth. You know, look at yourself like that and not the way all kinds of people look at you. There's nothing to say that that would not be absolutely correct.
Oh. Okay. Thank you, Sister Denise. Thank you very much. So, I don't know what this episode has felt like for you, but for me it felt as if God was massaging my heart. And I think what is precious about the words that were shared today is that Sister Denise very meticulously articulated what a human being would be like once they have experienced God. And there are many across the globe who have, and you should trust your instincts when looking at such a person, because whoever really has been loved by God, I think, carries a piece of God with them wherever they go. So Sister Denise has shared what it means to have lost one's moral compass, how to re-find it or rediscover it, and how to become the person that you have always known in your heart you could be, rather than become what people have seen you to be in this lifetime. So thank you so much for joining us, and I do wish you everything of the best in your own spiritual quest. Thank you and goodbye.